Radio Daily for Not Monday, which is outstanding. Yeah. And 13 years and a day of podcasting. Woo!
Wow.
And that's just if you count this show and not the show that it came from.
Yeah, well, also
that's
true.
As that's just great. And say hi, everyone. Welcome to it. It is the 9th of February, which means we're almost to double digits, which means theoretically, if you look at it right, this month is over. We're the fine folks from geekradiodaily.com. You might notice in the places that you do that I'm sure that you have done that. The folks that are bringing things to you today, well, the man, the myth, the legend, who knows what things are really like in the world, that there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Gee, it sure is boring around here.
Fine, we'll get some hookers and blow. Hi, everyone, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You weren't paying any attention.
No, I wasn't.
I rarely do. What happened, sir?
In 1497, Nicholas Copernicus observes the moon eclipse the star Aldebaran.
Oh, before the Death Star blew it up. 1913, a group of meteors is visible across much of the eastern seaboard of North and South America, leading astronomers to conclude the source had been a small, short-lived natural satellite of the Earth.
1949, the world's first Department of Space Medicine is established at the United States Air Force School of Aviation Medicine at Randolph Field, Texas, and Dr. Hubertus Strughold becomes the first professor of space medicine.
1964, the Beatles perform on the Ed Sullivan Show, and women lost a damn mind.
1969, the Boeing 747, the world's largest airliner, makes its first commercial flight.
1971, Apollo 14 returns to Earth after the third manned moon landing.
Also, Satchel Paige becomes the first African-American player voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
1975, the Soyuz 17 Soviet spacecraft returns to Earth.
1982, the Boston suburb of Marlboro, Massachusetts, passes an ordinance barring the use of video games by anyone under age 18 during school hours or late at night. The ordinance also bans arcade games within 1,500 feet of a public school.
Same day, same year, Walter Day, founder of Twin Galaxies, publicly publishes his database of video game high scores as the Twin Galaxies National Scoreboard. It'll become the de facto standard for arcade records across the United States. When the Guinness Company decided they wanted to start keeping track of those records, they used Twin Galaxies as the official keeper of verified world records.
1983, Atari announces my first computer keyboard accessory for the Atari 2600 game system to turn the system into a personal computer.
10 print, quotation, help, quotation, 20 go to 10. 1986, Halley's Comet is seen in our solar system for the last time until 2061.
1989, Osamu Tezuka, the god of comics, dies, leaving all of Japan grieving. Tezuka was the creator of more than 150,000 pages of manga and over 60 animated movies. His work includes Astro Boy, Blackjack, Kimba, Phoenix, Princess Knight, and the White Lion. He is often credited with taking manga from a cheap entertainment to a vaulted art form in Japan.
1990, the Galileo satellite launched on October 18, 1989, makes its closest approach to Venus.
1995, the first British-born American to perform a spacewalk, Michael Foyle, and the first black astronaut to perform a spacewalk, Dr. Bernard A. Harris Jr., test their endurance in a modified spacesuit out of the open cargo bay of the Space Shuttle Discovery.
1996, only a year after creating element 111, a team of German scientists led by Peter Armbruster and the Gesellschaft facility at Darmstadt, Germany, announced the creation of an atom of element 112. Its nucleus has 112 protons, 166 neutrons, giving its mass number 277. It is named Onumbium and given symbol UUB, according to an internationally adopted system for naming new elements.
1997, the animated television sitcom The Simpsons airs its 167th episode, surpassing The Flintstones to become the longest-running animated series in history. They, of course, stopped making episodes shortly after and weren't heard from again.
2003, Benjamin Curtis, the actor best known for his role in the highly successful 2000 Dell computer ad campaign that was credited with generating a business-saving revenue growth with the "Dude, you're getting a Dell" catchphrase, is arrested attempting to buy some weed on Manhattan's Lower East Side. The arrest of the actor, often referred to as the Dell Dude or just Steve, will end his career as the Dell spokesperson and will precipitate a long-running link between Dell and drug culture on the internet. And not just computer gaming people in general?
2004, Tower Records files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The company blames the collapse of its business on growing competition from a large chain retailers and internet piracy. The company's debt is estimated at between $80 million and $100 million. Its assets are estimated at just over $100 million.
God, I could spend hours inside of a Tower Records, man. 2009, Amazon.com announces a second, slimmer version of its Kindle ebook reader, which will begin shipping on February 23rd. The new version of the device costs as much as the original, but features a number of technological improvements.
Aviary releases Raven, the internet's first full-featured web-based vector editor.
About damn time. Birthdays?
Jimmy Bennett is 25. He was young Kirk in Star Trek, also an orphan, and Poseidon, as well as Amityville Horror and No Ordinary Family.
Tyson Houseman is 31. That's Quill in Twilliget.
Rosie Leslie is 34, from Game of Thrones and Downton Abbey.
Michael B. Jordan is 34, from Friday Night Lights, The Wire, Fantastic Four, Creed, Black Panther, is apparently the new Alexa.
I don't think anybody minds that. Tom Hiddleston, 40, Loki, Crimson Peak, Kong, Skull Island, many, many naughty thoughts.
Margarita LaViva is 41, from The Invisible and Adventureland.
Charlie Day is 45, from Always Sunny and Horrible Bosses and Pacific Rim, and what a joy.
I keep forgetting he's in that. Colin Eggersfield is 48, from the redo of Melrose Place.
Jason Winston George is 49, from Grey's Anatomy.
Charles Shaughnessy is 66. That's Mr. Sheffield on the nanny.
Jim J. Bullock is 66, was Monroe in Too Close for Comfort.
Believe he was a center square on some version of Hollywood Squares. Syrian Hines is 69, from Harry Potter, Hitman, John Carter.
Judith Light, 72, was Angela on Who's the Boss?
Mia Farrow is 74, from Rosemary's Babies, Purple Rose of Cairo, the Arthur series, not the kids cartoon.
Joe Pesci is 78, does a fantastic impression of a clown.
Sheila Kuehl is 80, that's Zelda on The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, as well as being a member of the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors, a member of the California Senate, and a member of the California State Assembly.
Born in the state, no longer with us in 1922, Catherine Grayson. She's an American actress and soprano. She was on Showboat and Kiss Me, Kate.
1936, Clive Swift, who you saw in Doctor Who with fantastic episodes, but was quintessentially Richard on Keeping Up Appearances.
1909, Heather Angel, English-American actress, voice of Alice in Alice in Wonderland.
1901, Brian Donlevy, Quatermass in The Quatermass Experiment. And if you like Doctor Who, you can thank Quatermass for existing.
And 1892, Peggy Wood, an American actress and singer from The Sound of Music. On television on CBS, we've got a new NCIS, FBI, and FBI Most Wanted.
ABC's got a new To Tell the Truth, Blackish, Mixed-ish, and then Cassie and Jenny's suspicions are heightened. A curious paperboy makes things more complicated for Ronald on a new Big Sky. He wants his $2.
NBC has a new Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, This Is Us, and Ashley receives an ultra-religious patient who is willing to put himself at peril to appease God on a new Nurses.
She wouldn't want you to do that. Fox has got a new The Resident. Then Malcolm grows curious about Ainsley's motivations to find the person responsible for the debutante slayings on a new Prodigal Son.
CW has a young girl being targeted by a horrifying apparition while being forced to spend time at the morgue her mother is employed at, on one of two new Tell Me a Story and a new Trickster.
Freeform is showing the movie that Mark can't see John Cena in, Trainwreck.
AMC has Escape Plan.
See, we call it. FX has Hidden Figures.
FXX has a Simpsons Marathon, A Tree Grows in Springfield, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Stood Cool, and Homer Goes to Prep School.
FXM has Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
IFC has Star Trek, which was the best Star Wars movie that had been out in years.
And you can see that candidate. Yay! BBC America has Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which is just not good. Find the Patrick Bergen one, seriously.
Sundance has Outbreak.
That's a good movie. Sci-Fi's got John Wick.
Damn good movie. CBS, a truly miserable Valentine's special on a new The Misery Index.
Science Channel has Ancient Unexplained Files, Egypt. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. An erratic birth mother re-enters her daughter's life after they meet through a DNA website, and the girl's adoptive mother acts on her suspicions and struggles to keep her daughter safe from the influence of the unpredictable birth mother. Tanya Clark and Aria Pullman star in Birth Mother's Betrayal. That's why they kept saying birth mother.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. A German engineer comes to town to begin work on a major project. At the same time, there's a manhunt going on for a French agent known by the code name Gibson Winkler. Chad is approached by someone in the underground and wants to help Gibson Winkler escape. But as usual, Chad is not sticking his neck out until he realizes Gibson Madison Winkler is headed to a rehearsal for murder. And as she makes the final approach, Chad is concerned she could somehow end up on the funny farm. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
Greetings, GRD crew. After playing around with my normal Google Foo and being stymied, I decided to play with the extra clues that Flynn gives at the end of the plot synopsis. I followed a hunch and in one try found that Chad and Abby are hiding from Nazis on before there? Weird. Cheers. That is from Jared in Anaheim. Well, congratulations, Jared. You're right. I'm glad you were stymied. Although I don't like your tone when you say you got it in one try. Congratulations on achieving another year of epicness. It has been awesome to have you start off my days for several years now. It's been amazing to also have you all as friends, and I love that I get to sometimes be a part of your world. Part of that world. Would it be possible to do a special edition booze review and let everyone talk about what they poured for a celebrational shot? Cheers to all of you, and here's to taking over 2029. Happy anniversary. That is from Syrinx.
That's a good idea. May think on it.
That means what? We just update the special effects from the previous editions? Or what are we doing there? Yeah. If you've got some ideas as to how we should celebrate these kinds of things, by all means, let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you could tell us, come here, you stupid, or with a voicemail or a text message, just use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
But we promise Greedo will never take a shot first.
Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This is Carol the Cat with the Guardians of the Geekery podcast. Join me, Starnes Lord, the Giddy Geeker, and whatever the hell we decide to call Tiffany this week as we interview local interesting people and talk about geek stuff. That's the Guardians of the Geekery podcast. Find us at guardiansofthegeekery.com or wherever fine podcasts are streamed. And remember, we're not the geekiest people on Earth. We're just here to guard your right to get your geek on.
Hi, this is Julie Caitlin Brown of Babylon 5, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You know, I should remember to tell everybody that Carol the Cat has a new review that's up.
That
I wrote a note to tell myself to tell everyone yesterday, then forgot to read it, and then I don't even remember what the movie is now, so I'm a bad person. Oh, well, Carol, I guess you will have to punish me. Take that any way you like.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Come on. You still want to. In fact, what's out there that they're going to want to watch today, sir?
Well, in classic TV, we've got Beauty and the Beast, the complete series.
Yes, that's Ron Perlman, ladies and gentlemen. Don't even try to get it mixed up with that CW nonsense. Documentary, we've got Moon Landing Conspiracy. Or rather, the moon landing happened. Here's some jackasses that think different.
Allegedly. The re-release section, we've got the last remake of Boguest.
Because there's not enough Marty Feldman in this world. In our regular movies department, we've got Timbertown.
We've also got Wander Darkly. I wonder if that's a prequel or a sequel to The Passions of Darkly Moon.
We also have Freaky, which apparently is a strange enough thing that we should all watch.
We've also got Greenland.
We also have Illuminati, but I'm not sure how that's a public thing.
Yeah, we may need to be careful with conspiracy things anymore. We've also got The Right One.
That is a sequel to The Right Stuff. But if anything, an elven village is taken over by the goblin warlord Von Druk, and one of the kinswomen Marge is taken captive. A young elf girl named Hetherial must seek out the one they call Deathbone and ask for his help to vanquish the evil. Billy Garbania, Meredith Host, and Casey Bowker all star in Deathbone, Third Blood, Part 7, The Blood of Deathbone.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. A group of budding young writers is about to publish a book with some help from Maine's most famous writer.
Henry Thoreau? Florence Brooks Whitehouse? Richard Bachman?
Close. Stephen King. His foundation has picked up the tab for the $6,500 cost of publishing a 290-page manuscript by students participating in Farwell Elementary School's Author Studies Program.
Not Jonathan Swithin, nor Beryl Evans, or Jessica Fletcher? slackers.
The student started with Fletcher McKenzie, and The Passage to Hole, a story about a Maine boy, which is written by Gary Savage, then reworked it to reflect their experiences during the pandemic.
Oh, well, we all social distance down here.
Farwell Principal Amanda Winslow said she is proud of the students for their accomplishment and thankful for the dedication of Savage, who advised the students, and librarian Kathy Martin, who reminds everyone to return your books to the library ahead of the due time.
4 past midnight?
Yes. And if you don't, you'll get a visit from the library policeman.
A couple from Kingsville, Ontario, south of Windsor, have been cooped up in their house a long time and decided that since they were out in the car for a change, why not pull into an empty church parking lot to capture some digital monsters on Pokemon Go?
Because I have seen too many horror movies and that's how they start!
While on site, an Ontario Provisional Police cruiser drove up behind them and the officer asked them what they were doing. When they explained, the officer told them their trip wasn't essential and gave them an $880 fine for violating lockdown restrictions.
But officer, I have to catch them all! Eh?
Essex County OPP Constabulary Amanda Allen confirmed that a ticket was handed out on Wednesday for failing to comply with the province's stay-at-home order, restricting non-essential outings. Stay-at-home order doesn't give police power to enter homes, pull over drivers, or stop pedestrians. While the couple says they have been closely following COVID-19 regulations, including refraining from visiting family or friends for months, they didn't realize that going for a drive would land them a fine.
No. What part of stay-at-home is confusing? Drive is fine.
Under the stay-at-home order, people in Ontario are only permitted to go for things such as food, medication, work, or exercise. So, folks under a stay-at-home, don't go out. Especially since Pokemon Go has made it easier for you to play and stay home. But if you do need to go out, don't take the car, just walk, or just stay home. Would be mighty tentacle of you.
Anime Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba is a box office smash in Japan, and one politician was hoping to capitalize on that popularity and borrowed their logo for a campaign poster.
And the creators were quick to respond. No matter where you go, you're not getting away. I'll follow you to the ends of hell, and I swear I'll slice your head with my blade!
Fukuoka politician Mikioto Aniiki copied the logo, substituting his name for Kimetsu no Yaiba, as the kanji character appears in both the anime's title and Aniiki's last name. It was a visual pun of sorts.
Those who regretted their own actions, I would never trample over them, because demons were once human too. Just like me, they were human too.
Aniiki, a member of the Liberal Democratic Party and a member of the National Diet, was heavily criticized online for the unauthorized use of the logo and apologized. I have earnestly come to grips with any unpleasantness I have caused the creator of Demon Slayer, the publisher, and fans. I am truly sorry. He promises to never do something like this again.
He said, sobbing, "Work out. All I can do is work hard. That's the story of my life."
Aniiki is not the first Japanese politician to get in trouble this month for ripping off Demon Slayer. Kisiyaku Mitsumoto, a city council member in the Hyogo Prefecture, also ripped off Demon Slayer for a campaign poster. Look, people, if you can only do one thing, hone it to perfection. Hone it to the utmost limit. But not theft! Unless you're Arsene Lupin.
90-year-old North Hollywood resident Aaron Epstein has been an AT&T customer since the 1960s. He's been with the company so long, he witnessed the 1982 breakup of Ma Bell. He even still has a Pacific Bell email address, despite the brand being discontinued in 2002.
They're mobilizing your world. Well, not your world.
But after being continuously frustrated by AT&T's failure to upgrade his DSL line, Epstein took out a quarter-page ad in the Wall Street Journal just to give AT&T CEO John Stankey a piece of his mind.
The best way to reach out and touch someone.
The ad first complains about AT&T's apparent inability to provide anything faster than 3 megabytes per second in 2021 Los Angeles. We need to keep up with current technology and have looked to AT&T to supply us with fast internet service, Epstein wrote. Yet, although AT&T is advertising speeds of up to 100 megabits per second for other neighborhoods, the fastest now available to us from AT&T is only 3.
Your world delivered. Eventually.
For decades, AT&T has been repeatedly accused of failing to meaningfully upgrade its aging DSL network to fiber, especially in lower-income and marginalized communities. Existing customers also frequently complain that AT&T often fails to promptly repair DSL lines, that fall into disrepair. Last October, AT&T stopped selling DSL entirely.
More bars, more places, other places.
During the Trump era alone, AT&T received an estimated $42 billion tax breaks the company claimed would result in thousands of new high-paying jobs and a major boost in network investment. Instead, unions say the company laid off more than 42,000 workers in just 3 years and reduced overall network investment last year. Word of advice for all the suits at AT&T, you should rethink possible and actually do the obvious.
Steve Levine has been collecting Spider-Man for 50 years. Late night eBay auctions, long days at comic book conventions, the 62-year-old Los Angeles defense attorney has amassed what is perhaps the most unique Spider-Man collection in existence. It is easily worth seven figures, thanks to pricey comic books such as 1962's Amazing Fantasy No. 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man, and rarities such as the high school yearbooks of co-creators Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. It has original art, it has impossible-to-find toys, it has it all.
Even the ultimate Spidey eau de toilette? It's real. Look it up.
Levine is selling his entire collection to the highest bidder, with the winner taking all. To that end, he has launched SpiderSteveCollection.com, a website cataloging 10,000 items and counting. The website really needs to be viewed on a desktop for best experience. Levine's comics alone are estimated to be worth $1.4 million, and that doesn't count the other items, plus the sweat it took to gather all of this.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to get Morgan Freeman to sign Easy Reader memorabilia?
And for those of you going, why? Here comes the turn. Levine has been fighting rectal cancer since Election Day 2016, and though he's beaten the odds time and time again, he may be nearing the final stages of his journey and would like to sell the collection to financially help his wife and their young daughter after he's gone. He was going to save this collection to give to his daughter, but cancer has changed those plans.
Disney, be a hero and buy this, and dedicate a museum to this guy.
Levine has issues number 1 through 700 of The Amazing Spider-Man, with the first 200 graded at 9.0 or above. But the collection goes far beyond that. Levine has assembled what he believes is every Spider-Man comic book appearance from 1962 to 2002, meaning if Spider-Man was another hero's book like Daredevil number 1, which he has, it's valued at $13,000, Levine has it. If Spidey's likeness showed up on a DC book as a joke, Levine's got it. If Spider-Man appears in a character's t-shirt in the background, he's got that issue too.
He even has, like, seven copies of Amazing Spider-Man Battles the Myth Monster.
Among other rarities, he has storyboards for James Cameron's aborted Spider-Man movie, a never-sold Spider-Man-themed Camel cigarette pack, and a letter Ditko wrote a fan in which the notoriously grumpy artist tells the recipient what he really thinks. All of this he is ready to part with for his family. That is great responsibility. And one day, we truly hope we never, ever again have to say those fabled words, F cancer! GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Work, 96.3.0 license. Check us on Facebook, on Twitter, some of the words at geekradio.com. Seriously, somebody stupidly rich, pay that man a shit ton of money, and then even better, put that stuff aside and give it to his daughter later, okay? Okay? Mm. Ah, world, I swear to God. Hi, everyone. Sorry, I'm a bit emotional. It's just the way things happen. What are you going to do about it? Don't tell me to take the green pill, okay? Don't tell me that. Even if it doesn't prove my chess game, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, send a text message or a voicemail message if you like. Use the numbers.
510-GRD.
And we shall be seeing you.
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
Good night, suckers!
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
I'ma sing it!
Charlie's doing the song.
Yeah.
The song was light.
Yeah.
The song was light. That'll lighten things up.
Do
the song.
Do
the song.
Yeah. Let's enjoy this song.
There is a spider. 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 Deep in my soul, he's lived here for years, he just won't let go, he's laying around, he's got a mean bite, now he's ready to fight. And stand up for what he knows. you all go f*** yourself.
Oh, oh shit.
Go f*** yourself.
Is he spitting?
He's spitting.
Oh, he's spitting at them.